All right, diving right in, we've got a mountain of info on medical expense plans, and frankly, sifting through it all can feel like, well, a real headache.
Yeah, you can be a bit overwhelming.
You want the key insights without drowning in the details, right?
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing today, folks, extracting the core knowledge so you can grasp the essentials and feel truly confident about your healthcare choices.
Think of it as a shortcut to understanding the fundamentals, really getting a handle on this complex landscape.
Exactly. So you've done a ton of research on this, and it seems clear that there are so many different ways medical expenses can be handled, from private insurance you buy yourself to social programs and everything in between.
Right, and what's interesting is that they all have their own quirks and
That's
variations.
not a one-size-fits-all world out there.
Not at all. What's covered, the benefits you get, even how the bills are actually paid.
Yeah.
It all varies wildly.
Okay, so let's break this down a bit. I think one of the first big forks in the road is this idea of fee-for-service versus prepaid care.
Right.
Now, fee-for-service sounds pretty intuitive, right? Use a service, you pay for it. Simple. But what's the core idea behind this prepaid thing?
Well, the classic example of a prepaid system is an HMO, a health maintenance organization.
Okay, HMOs, those are familiar.
So imagine you pay a set fee every month to the HMO, and in return, they basically agree to provide all the medical care you need during that period.
So it's like a subscription for your healthcare.
Exactly, like a subscription. And what makes it interesting is the element of risk involved. You see, if you happen to need very little care, well, you don't get any money back.
No refunds, huh?
Nope, no refunds. But on the flip side, if you end up needing a lot of treatment, you're generally not going to face extra charges.
So it's a gamble in a way.
In a sense, yes. It's about having that predictability of cost. Your healthcare needs might fluctuate throughout the year, but your monthly payment stays the same.
It's like a safety net, but with a fixed cost.
Right, a fixed cost for varying needs. And that leads to an interesting trade-off. Do you value the predictability of cost more, or the flexibility of choosing any doctor you want?
That's a really good point. It's a trade-off between cost certainty and choice. Now, another distinction I came across in the research is this idea of specified coverages versus comprehensive care.
Yes, those are two fundamentally different approaches to health insurance coverage.
So what's the main difference, really? What should we be focusing on here?
Well, with a basic policy that offers specified coverages, you're essentially looking at a plan with a very defined list of what it covers and how much it will pay for each specific service.
So it's pretty limited in what it covers.
Yeah, it's a much more restrictive approach. Comprehensive care, on the other hand, aims to be, well, more comprehensive.
As the name suggests.
Exactly. It tries to encompass a much broader range of medical services under that single plan. And this often includes preventive care, things like routine checkups and vaccinations.
Right, keeping you healthy rather than just treating you when you're sick.
Precisely. And interestingly, HMOs, those prepaid plans we talked about earlier, were actually early adopters of this comprehensive model.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, they recognized that keeping people healthy from the get-go could actually be more cost-effective in the long run.
It makes sense, preventing problems before they become big expenses. Now let's talk about how the money actually flows in this system, you know, how doctors and hospitals actually get paid.
Right, the payment side of things.
And in the research, we see these terms benefit schedule and usual customary reasonable charges.
Yeah, those are important to understand because they can significantly impact your out-of-pocket costs.
Okay, so break it down for us. What's the difference between those two payment methods?
So, with the benefit schedule, the insurance plan basically has a predetermined amount they're willing to pay for each specific medical service.
So it's like a price list for healthcare.
Yeah, think of it that way. Now, if your doctor or hospital charges more than that scheduled amount, the difference, unfortunately, becomes your responsibility.
So you're stuck with the bill.
Right. Now, policies that use usual, customary, and reasonable charges, or UCR for short, those work a little differently.
Okay, how so?
Well, they look at what similar providers in your geographic area typically charge for the same service.
So they're comparing what's considered normal for your region.
Exactly. And if your provider's fee falls within those norms, the policy will usually cover it. But here's the catch. If they charge more than what's considered reasonable, you might be on the hook for the excess.
So even if it's covered, you might still have to pay extra.
Yeah, it's really important to understand which payment method your plan uses because it can have a big impact on your final bill.
It's all about avoiding those unexpected costs, right? Now, another big shift that's happened over the years is who you can actually see for care.
Right, the choice of providers.
The research talks about a move from any provider plans to limited choice.
Yeah, that's been a major trend in health insurance.
So how has that played out? What's changed over time?
In the old days, many insurance plans let you see any doctor you wanted. You had complete freedom of choice.
That's nice.
It was, but it was also expensive for the insurers. So as managed care systems, like those HMOs we talked about, started gaining popularity, things began to change.
So HMOs started limiting your choices.
Well, yeah, in a way. They typically only cover care from doctors and hospitals within their specific network.
So if you go outside that network, you're on your own.
Basically, unless it's an emergency situation. Otherwise, you'll likely have to pay the full cost yourself.
That sounds pretty restrictive.
It can be. But that's where preferred provider organizations, or PPOs, come in.
PPOs, right. Those were mentioned in the research. So they offer a bit more freedom.
Exactly. PPOs also have a network of doctors and hospitals they contract with, but they give you more flexibility.
Okay. Good.
If you stay within the network, you usually get a higher level of coverage, maybe 80 to 100% of the cost. But unlike HMOs, PPOs also let you see providers outside the network.
Oh, that's a big difference.
It is. But there's a trade-off. If you go out of network, your coverage will likely be lower, maybe around 60%, and you'll have higher out-of-pocket costs.
So more choice, but potentially more cost. It's that trade-off again.
Right. Freedom versus cost is a recurring theme in healthcare.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
One last thing before we move on. The research mentions different terms used for people covered by these plans. Insureds versus subscribers or participants.
Yeah, it's a subtle but important distinction.
So is there a practical difference we need to be aware of?
Well, it basically reflects the underlying structure of the plan.
Okay.
Typically, if you have a traditional fee-for-service plan where you're dealing directly with an insurance company, you're called an insured.
Because you're insured by them.
Exactly. But with prepaid plans, like those offered by HMOs, the individuals covered are often called subscribers or participants.
It emphasizes their membership in that specific healthcare system.
Right. It's like being a member of a club versus having a policy that protects you against a specific risk.
I see. Different relationships, different terms. All right. So we've laid the groundwork with these general concepts. Now let's dive into the actual types of medical expense plans out there.
Let's get specific.
And the research really emphasizes this balancing act, right? Between the monthly premium you pay and the amount of coverage you get.
Absolutely. It's a classic trade-off.
Pay more upfront for more protection, or keep costs low and risk higher expenses later on.
Exactly. And the research boils it down to two main categories: major medical insurance and basic health insurance.
So what's the fundamental difference between those two? What makes major medical so different from the basic kind?
Well, think of basic health insurance as a plan that reimburses you for some, but not all, types of medical services. It's like having a small financial cushion, but it won't cover everything.
Okay, limited coverage, lower cost.
Right. Major medical insurance, on the other hand, aims to be much more comprehensive. It's designed to cover a wide range of expenses, from your regular checkups to serious illnesses and injuries.
The things that can really rack up the bills.
Exactly. So with basic plans, you pay less upfront, but risk big expenses later. With major medical, you pay more monthly but get broader protection.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's go back in time a bit and explore those basic plans in more detail. Specifically, these basic hospital, medical, and surgical policies. The research suggests these were more common before modern medical technology and its associated costs became widespread.
Yeah, they were kind of the pioneers of health insurance. Back then, medical treatments were simpler and less expensive.
So these policies were designed for a different era.
Exactly. And they had two key characteristics: relatively low coverage limits and something called first dollar coverage.
First dollar coverage, that sounds good.
It does, right? It basically means you don't have to pay any deductible upfront before the policy starts covering things.
Unlike those deductibles we hear about so much today.
Exactly. So that was the good news, as the source puts it. No immediate out-of-pocket costs. But the bad news was that those coverage limits were really low.
There's always a catch.
Always. These policies typically had very specific lists of what they covered for hospital stays, surgeries, doctor visits, and nursing care.
So if it wasn't on the list, you were out of luck.
Pretty much. And even if it was on the list, if the cost exceeded the policy's limit, you had to pay the difference.
So you might avoid costs up front, but get hit with big bills later.
That's the trade-off. It highlights why major medical insurance became so popular.
Right. More comprehensive coverage, higher limits. But of course, that comes with higher premiums.
It does. But you're paying for that peace of mind. And within major medical insurance, the sources break it down further into two types, supplemental and comprehensive.
Okay, so supplemental implies it works in conjunction with something else. How does that usually work?
Supplemental major medical insurance is designed to work alongside those basic policies we just talked about.
So it fills the gaps left by the basic plan.
Precisely. The basic policy pays first, up to its limit, usually without a deductible. Then, once that limit is reached, the supplemental plan steps in.
Okay, so it's like a second layer of protection.
That's a great way to put it. But there's one more hurdle. The corridor deductible.
Another deductible.
Yeah, it's a deductible you pay before the supplemental coverage kicks in. Think of it like this. The basic policy is a small bridge getting you part of the way across the river of medical expenses. The corridor deductible is a gap in the middle, and then the supplemental policy is the bigger bridge that takes you the rest of the way.
That's a great analogy that really clarifies it. So basic plan first, then a deductible, then the supplemental coverage starts. Now, what about comprehensive major medical? How is that different?
Comprehensive major medical is a standalone policy. It doesn't require a separate basic plan. You just have one deductible to meet, and then the benefits kick in.
So it's more straightforward in that sense.
Exactly. And after you meet the deductible, most comprehensive plans use something called coinsurance.
Coinsurance, right. That's where you share the cost with the insurer.
Precisely. And this cost sharing usually continues until you reach what's called the stop loss limit, which is the maximum amount you'll have to pay out of pocket for covered services in a given year.
So you're not completely off the hook, but there's a cap on your expenses.
Right. It limits your financial risk. So with comprehensive major medical, you have one deductible, then you share costs through coinsurance, and finally, there's a limit on your out-of-pocket expenses thanks to the stop loss.
Okay, that makes sense. Now let's get specific about what these major medical plans actually cover. And the research gives us quite a long list.
It does. Major medical plans are designed to be pretty comprehensive, covering a wide range of services.
So what are some of the highlights?
Well, they typically cover hospital expenses like room and board, including specialized care units like intensive care or cardiac care.
If you need to be in the hospital, you're covered.
Right. Plus, they cover other hospital services and supplies. They also cover physician services, whether it's for diagnosis, treatment, or surgery.
So your doctor visits are taken care of.
Absolutely. And it's not just doctors and hospitals. They often cover other licensed medical practitioners as well. Nursing care is usually included, both in the hospital and sometimes even private duty nursing at home.
So it goes beyond just the basic medical care.
Exactly. And there's more. They typically cover anesthesia, a wide range of outpatient services, ambulance transportation for emergencies, emergency room visits, and various diagnostic tests like x-rays and lab work.
It sounds pretty comprehensive so far.
It is. And they also cover various therapies, prescription drugs administered while you're in the hospital, blood transfusions, oxygen therapy, and even dental work needed as a direct result of an injury to your natural teeth.
So they've got you covered from head to toe.
Pretty much. And it extends to longer-term care as well. Coverage often includes care in rehab facilities, home health care services, and the initial purchase of prosthetic devices.
What about things like crutches and wheelchairs?
Yeah, those too. Necessary medical supplies like casts, splints, braces, crutches are usually covered, as well as the rental of durable medical equipment like hospital beds and wheelchairs.
So they're really thinking of everything.
And finally, many major medical plans include coverage for hospice care.
Hospice care, that's for end-of-life care, right?
Exactly. It focuses on providing comfort and pain relief rather than curative treatment.
So they really do cover a wide range of medical needs.
They aim to be as comprehensive as possible. Now let's revisit some of those cost-sharing mechanisms we talked about. First up, deductibles.
Yeah, deductibles, everyone's favorite topic.
Not exactly, but they're important to understand. Remember, it's the amount you pay before the insurance coverage kicks in.
So how does that work in a real-world scenario?
Let's say your policy have a $500 deductible. And you get a medical bill for $750. You'd be responsible for paying that first $500, and then your insurance would cover the remaining $250.
So it's like a threshold you have to cross before the insurance starts paying?
Exactly. And it's important to note that many family health insurance plans have a family deductible.
So it's not just individual deductibles.
Right. A family deductible is the maximum total deductible the whole family has to meet in a year. and it's often lower than the sum of everyone's individual deductibles.
So there's a cap on how much the family has to pay out of pocket.
Yeah, it provides some financial protection for families. And as we discussed earlier, with supplemental major medical insurance, the deductible we're talking about is that corridor deductible.
Right, the one you pay after the basic policy's limit is reached.
Exactly. It bridges the gap between the two layers of coverage.
Okay, next up is coinsurance. This is where you pay a percentage of the cost after you've met your deductible. And the 80-20 split is a common example.
It is. Coinsurance is all about sharing the cost of care between you and the insurance company.
So how does that 80-20 split work in practice?
Let's say you've met your deductible and you have a bill for $1,000. With an 80-20 split, the insurance company would pay 80% of that, which is $800.
And you'd be responsible for the remaining 20%.
Exactly, which would be $200 in this case. So you're sharing the cost, but the insurance company is shouldering the larger portion.
Which is good, especially for those big medical bills. Now, to protect against those really catastrophic costs, there's the concept of a stop-loss limit.
Right. The stop-loss is crucial because it puts a cap on how much you'll have to pay in co-insurance during the year.
So how does that work?
Once your medical expenses reach a certain point and you've paid your share in coinsurance, the insurance company takes over and starts paying 100% of all further covered expenses.
So it's like a safety net for those really high medical bills.
Exactly. It provides significant financial security. So you have your deductible, then you share costs through coinsurance, but there's a limit to how much you'll have to pay thanks to the stop loss.
Okay, that makes sense. And that brings us to the idea of the maximum out-of-pocket.
Right. The maximum out-of-pocket is the most you could possibly have to pay for covered medical expenses in a year.
So is that just your deductible plus the stop-loss amount?
It's basically that, yeah. It includes your deductible plus the maximum amount you pay in coinsurance before hitting the stop-loss limit.
So it gives you a clear picture of your maximum financial risk under the policy.
Exactly. It's a key number to understand when choosing a plan.
Makes sense. Now, even with these comprehensive major medical plans, there are still some limitations on what they cover, right?
Yeah, it's important to remember that no plan covers absolutely everything. There are often limitations on certain types of care.
So what are some common limitations we should be aware of?
Well, you might encounter limitations on things like rehab and skilled nursing facility care, home health care services, hospice care, and ambulance services.
So even if it's covered, there might be restrictions.
Right. There might be limits on the number of visits, the duration of care, or specific conditions that have to be met for the coverage to apply.
So it's not enough to just see if it's covered. You have to read the fine print.
Exactly. And then beyond limitations, there are also exclusions.
Exclusions, those are things that aren't covered at all, right?
Yeah, precisely. They're services or treatments the policy won't cover under any circumstances.
Okay, so what are some common examples of exclusions?
Well, typical exclusions include things like self-inflicted injuries, injuries from war, illnesses or injuries while on active military duty, and injuries during air travel, unless you're a paying passenger.
So certain risky behaviors are excluded.
Right. Other common exclusions include injuries sustained while committing a felony, experimental medical procedures, and care that's covered by workers' compensation.
So if another insurance policy covers it, they won't.
Exactly. They also usually exclude care received in government facilities, elective cosmetic surgery, hearing aids, and custodial care.
Custodial care, that's like help with daily living activities, right?
Right. Things like bathing and dressing. It's not considered medical treatment, so it's usually excluded.
So lots of things to be aware of. It really highlights the importance of reading your policy carefully.
Absolutely. Knowing what's covered, what's limited, and what's excluded can help you avoid unexpected medical bills.
Well, this has been a truly deep dive into the world of medical expense plans. We've covered a lot of ground, from the basic concepts to the details of major medical insurance.
And hopefully it's given you a better understanding of the different types of plans available and how they work.
I think it's clear that there's no one-size-fits-all solution when it comes to health insurance.
Right. It's all about finding the plan that best suits your individual needs and circumstances.
Exactly. So as you navigate the often confusing world of healthcare choices, here's a question to really ponder. Given all the options we've discussed, from traditional fee-for-service to prepaid HMOs, and the different levels of coverage and cost-sharing, what single aspect of a medical expense plan do you think is most critical for your own situation, and why?
It's a question worth reflecting on as you make decisions about your healthcare.
Absolutely. Understanding the fundamentals empowers you to make informed choices that align with your needs and priorities.
And that's what we've aimed to do today, equip you with the knowledge to confidently navigate the healthcare system.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, stay informed and stay healthy.